When God speaks to you, it's contrary often to what the world is wanting. And often the world pushes back. And can we overcome persecution as the second soil, which is a shallow soil, that we can believe the word of God no matter what people say against it? We say, no, I am rooted and grounded now in God's word. The third area is that we're not distracted. It's a word that my wife has for this year, not to be distracted. That we're not distracted by the pleasures of this world, the deceitfulness of wealth, and all of these things that try to choke up the seed, but rather the plant growing. And lastly, with a pure and noble heart, with perseverance, we run the race, and then we see a 30, 60, 100-fold. And as soon as you become have the message of the kingdom living inside you, the wonderful thing is that you then become the seed. And God then sows you into the world wherever he's placed you. Could be in your business, in schools, in even your home or family, that we become the living seed that gets sown into the world. And we have seed being sown into Egypt, Cape Town. So Sam, when you go down to Cape Town, Lord, what are you wanting me to do here? But I've been drawn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is an interesting prophet because he just complains. He complains to God. Any complainers here? Yes. Zelani and I are the only two honest ones here. And this is the word that the Lord gave me almost 2 years ago. And he complains, first of all, about how bad the nations are. He talks about things like the law is paralyzed. There's violence. Those who do evil get away with it. But the Lord answers him in chapter 1. He says, I'm about to do something in your day that if I had to tell you, you would not believe me. And that's the word I really sense God is saying. But the second one is he complains again to the Lord. But listen to his answer after complaining. He says here, I will stand at my watch and station myself in the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer he'll give. So he complains to God about situations, but then he stands and positions himself to hear from God. And that is one of the biggest keys for us as believers, is that we position ourselves saying, God, I want to hear from you. We don't want to start anything until we've heard from you. And when we hear, this is what happens. Write down the revelation. Write down the dream, the vision. That word revelation comes from the word to mean dream, vision, to behold, to look, and to prophesy. So when we share vision, it's prophesying what God is going to do. And make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation, the vision, the dream, the prophecy awaits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. In other words, it gives you a picture of what it's going to look like in the future. It doesn't show you the steps from here to there necessarily, but it shows you what the future is going to look like. So I believe that God is about to do something in South Africa that if he had to tell us, we wouldn't believe it. That we will see the law prevail. We'll see righteousness rise up. We'll see just leaders in our nation. Then it says, goes on to say, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Isn't that a wonderful sort of understanding of God giving revelation, vision? But I love what it says at the end, Habakkuk's prayer in the end of the book. It says here, Lord, I've heard of your fame. We read about what you've done. We've experienced what you've done. I stand in awe of what you've done. I stand in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in our day. In other words, do it again. In our time, make them known. The question is, do we have the faith to believe it? But I want to pick up one last snippet before we start sharing around our... It says here in that same chapter, his splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. There's something about the laying on of hands that we as believers need to pick up again. That we understand this, that in God's right hand is power. And so often when we lay hands on people, we must understand that God has anointed us to do that because he wants to reveal his power in this time. So laying on hands of people up front here because they're heading off is a demonstration that God's power is being released. And it's almost a renewal of prophetic destiny over each person. But that is it. Let us now get on to why we're here. There's the first slide is a video by David Broderick, who's in Sierra Leone.
Vision, mission, and values of the new Upper Highway Vineyard Church. As you gather this morning, I would have already landed in Sierra Leone, West Africa. I'm here for strategic and training meetings with leaders from across East, Central, West, and Southern Africa. It's truly been a privilege to walk this journey with a transition team. They've been incredibly committed and dedicated to seeing this process through to its conclusion. I want to encourage you to grab one of them, maybe offer to buy them a coffee at the end of this gathering, shake their hands, and thank them for the long hours and dedicated work that they've put into this. Solani, Andrew, and myself started having discussions in January 2024, and in April, the transition team met for the first time. Our first task was to carefully reflect on the journeys that both churches had taken through their histories. We spent significant time looking at the values that have been instilled in both churches by their founders and the different people that had led these churches. Once we understood what was important to both churches, we brought these values together and began to form a new set of values that are deeply rooted in history and informed by what God is saying to us now about the future. The full process took almost a year and over 80 hours of work, but I believe that every minute was worthwhile. The vision and the values that we have arrived at are some of the most profound and exciting of any church that I've ever been engaged with. I'm really excited to see how God leads us into the future, not just as a local church, but as a base that has an impact on Outer West eThekwini, South Africa, and the nations of the world. There's an amazing calling and destiny on this church, and Michelle and I are truly excited to embark on this new adventure with you. I'm praying that your hearts will connect with the vision, mission, and values this morning. And I pray that as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, He will complete what He has started. I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
We can never underestimate the role that David and Michelle played in bringing two churches into one. Just to bring the, what I loved about it was that we slowed the pace right down. Let's get to know one another first before we start saying who's doing what. And so just want to honor David and you, Michelle. David's in Sierra Leone right now doing equipping and training up there. So we came down to a mission statement, a vision statement, and our values. I just want to say we have been blessed by a family in this church. And they have a printing machine that makes coffee mugs. And they have printed for every one of us as members of a coffee mug that you can take home with you. And on the back is all our values written. So you can put this you can put this in your cupboard at home. It can put in the dishwasher and it won't fade. And so I can ask you anytime, what are our values? And you'll be able to rattle them off because they're on the back of the cup. Can we just give the thanks to the family who, yeah, for that, yeah. And the understanding is this, is the reason why we're giving you a coffee mug is because we want you to get to know one another over a cup of coffee. We want you to invite each other to your homes and get to know one another intimately. So there we go. There's our coffee mug with all our values. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's start off with the mission statement, why we exist. We exist to advance God's kingdom by loving people, making disciples, and planting new communities of faith. That is our mission statement. We exist to advance God's kingdom by loving people, making disciples, and planting new faith communities. And what we're talking about is home groups, life groups, and even churches. And so here's our vision statement. And it's so true for us here. To see diverse communities of Jesus followers multiplying across outer West Itakwini, where people live, work, and play. That's our vision for us as a church. At the same time, we're going to be supporting missionaries who are far and wide, as far as Egypt, Zimbabwe, and even locally here as well. But these are the five key values that we have, that this is like the glue that holds us together, that we see church as a family, not as a business, not as an organization. We are passionate about spirituality. We want to be real, being real. We want to have open hearts and open hands. And lastly, everyone involved. So let's break it up. Church is family. We build joyful communities where people feel safe, valued, and deeply connected. Around passionate spirituality, we prioritize abiding prayer, worship, and cultivating a hunger for God's presence as we boldly follow the Holy Spirit's leading. This last one, the third one, being real, is something I'm passionate about. And it's we value authenticity. Inviting God's word to shape us as we pursue honesty and transparency before Him and others. We don't want to be fake. What you see is what you get. What we speak is who we are. Then open hearts and open hands. We live out Christ's mission through service, generosity, and compassion as we share the gospel with others. And lastly, everyone involved. And this is another one of my favorites. We empower every person to strengthen the body of Christ and impact the world through the gifts God has given them. Isn't that wonderful? That every one of us here has gifts that God has given us. Let's talk about the facilities, first of all. The facilities are here to serve the vision. In fact, the reason why we have a building here is so, number one, there's enough space for everyone to sit. The walls are up to make sure the wind and the rain doesn't come in, and the roof is there so we don't get wet. But the reason for the building is so that we can use it for the purpose of the vision of equipping saints and extending the kingdom. We want to create a modern facility that is functional. The key is functionality. Everything is built like it is for a reason. And we in time want to engage with an architect who can help us get a phase 1, 2, and 3 so we can actually look at the vision extending beyond ourselves. We're dreaming of a functional car park and many more. But I have the joy of introducing a very dynamic and wonderful lady whose name is Cornay. We have another Cornay. We have two Andries. We have many Davids. Now we have two Cornays. But I just want to say, Cornay, whenever you come into this building, you've come with passion, zeal, and I admire the gift God has given you. Because I can build things to make them square and strong, but I don't know what color to paint them or anything like that. So can we give a warm welcome to Cornay, who's kindly offered her services free of charge to us as a community. Yeah.
I won't be long, I promise. I think Andrew only invited me because he needed a scapegoat for all of this. So I often say that 5% of my work is color therapy, 10% is making the budget work, and the remaining 85% is marriage counseling. So renovating a church can be even more challenging. Before you can even advise on a single change, you need to consider three things. First of all, the members. I'm always very aware that every member feels a sense of ownership of their church, as it should be. We refer to our church or my church when we speak to other people. And therefore, you have to be so aware of the emotional aspects and consequences of changing a single thing. Secondly, you have to be aware of the history, like Andrew said earlier, and David said it as well. We had to consider the beginnings of this church and the whole process of change and merging of the two families, basically. They say that it takes a village, and it is particularly true in a church. The difficult decisions that were made by leadership before us and all the efforts of all the people to bring the church to where it is today is something that you really need to consider and keep in the back of your mind. And finally, the building itself. The architecture and the permanent elements and features of this church will definitely dictate the change that we need to make and the refreshing of the church, the new things that we want to incorporate. So I was particularly inspired when I met with Andrew and Veronica, and, you know, standing here, lots of people pass through here and you kind of, you know, start up a conversation. So I was really inspired by two things. Firstly, the future of this church, the vision of two families joining together. Marriage counseling. So secondly, what was really inspiring was the name of the church, a vineyard. So to me, if you close your eyes, you can actually see it. It's something you can visualize. We need to maintain our vineyard. We need to turn the soil to preserve the old established vines. We need to prune, get rid of the redundant and old things and broken parts to make sure that we can grow and bear fruit. So with all of this in mind, let's get to work. So I just wanted to explain a few elements. I'm not going to be long. I just wanted to explain the process and the thinking of the changes that we already made and the changes that lies ahead of us. So the colors, the color of the walls, was inspired by the stone arches that we had before. Because that is such an integral part for some of these people at the church, and it had such a meaning for them. So we decided to keep the color, and this is how we got to the color of the walls. Also, what was very serious for the team, a very serious element, was the fact that it needed to feel like you're coming home. As a family, it needs to be cozy inside. It needs to feel like we're coming home. Further, we were inspired by the windows. That initially was, a question. Should we keep it? Should we not keep it? And I'm so glad that we did. Because that was a very serious thing, that the windows will stay. But it's so interesting that when Veronica and the team came up with a color palette for me, we could find all the colors in the windows. So that's something that, once again, one of those old historic parts of this church, we can celebrate in the colors going forward and adding small little interesting elements somewhere in decor or accessories that we can celebrate whatever is here, we can look towards the future. And then the lights. At the stage, this is one of the elements that we are handling in this particular phase that we are in, is to create more light, functional light, and also just adding a little bit to the character and the ambiance of the church. So yes, it's a work in progress, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be a part of it. Thank you, Andrew.
Cornet, do you call that the mood board? Is that the right terminology? Yes, yeah, so that's the mood board, just to give you an indication. I've learned, do you want to share something on that?
Yeah. Forgot about that slide. Okay, so this is the mood board that I showed to the team when we consulted the first time. And the background is the wood. That's already such a big feature in the church. All the wood elements, the stairs, the rails upstairs. And then, once again, the colors that Veronica gave me is in the fabrics, and it was really evident that it came from the windows. And then the old brass that we want to incorporate will be incorporated in the light fittings that we'll see all over the building. What was important for us was to keep it grounded in natural elements. To celebrate stone, wood, brass, metal, is to just keep it, and that was pretty much dictated by the church itself, by what we found and saw in the building. I don't know if you even notice, when you come in, the downlighters on the outside is brass. So we'll take that into the church and just with subtle little elements, just add on to it. And once again, we're not changing. We're just growing what's already here. And then I spoke about the paint colors. And then later on, maybe in a phase, if we're blessed with enough funding, we can look at new carpeting and just finishing off this entire interior. Anything else? Is that it? Thank you, Andrew.
Just sharing around our Sunday services, there's four key elements of Sunday service where we want to grow the church. The first being the very vital one is around worship. And we're having a wonderful journey. We met with the worship team on Thursday, and we have such quality people, not only in their music ability, but also in their hearts. And we're walking a journey there. Secondly, we want the word preached with accuracy. I'm passionate about apostolic prophetic DNA in the church, that we have a prophetic word that is a now word, what God is saying. So we want to preach the word in its entirety. Then children's church. We want a vibrant, full of life children's church. Now my wife, Veronica, she doesn't know I'm going to say this, but she's had to go and fill the gap because Charlene, he was leading it before, felt her season was up. But we really are believing for someone who will grab the bull by the horns, as you would say, and run children's church. They'll become a vibrant in this community. We're dreaming of holiday clubs. I'm dreaming of a holiday club. As a young youth pastor in Amshlanga, I took a youth holiday club to 60 kids to over 300 kids. So we are dreaming. And the last area is hospitality. When people come here, they feel like they're part of family before they even got through this door. And so we got a team who'll be headed by Daphne, who'll be heading up the first-time visitors. So we want people to feel loved and valued before they even come through the door. Now, I'm going to ask Veronica to come up and share around kids' church, teens, and young adults. Something new and exciting is emerging with young adults. Yeah.
Morning, everyone. So this is just such a vital part of our church. If I could say, it's really the life is the children. I mean, you can really hear them making lots of noise. They've got lots of energy. And so we want to create spaces for them to feel loved, to feel part of family, also so that they can experience God. They can pray for one another. They can worship together. They can even hear words. I'm really trusting that the kids will come down and pray for you, and you will be healed. And so I really want those kind of areas to be really focused on. Can I say, we need you. We need you. I can't do it on my own, as young as I am. We need you. And I'm calling to the teens and the young adults. We need your energy. We need guys. We've got far too many women. Women cannot rule the world. We need the younger men. Just to have fun with the kids. Also to have young men praying for the kids. So if that stirs in your heart, I'm looking at some young men now, please come and see me. So really what we want to do is to create a lovely space for new moms, for your 0 to 2-year-olds in the mother's room. So be busy redoing that. We want them to feel that they can be part of the service, but also be nursing their little one. We want it to be functional as well as warm and friendly, practical. Then we'd like to look at a classroom, which we're busy with at the moment, for the really will be the 2.5 to 5-year-olds, maybe even 6-year-olds, where they can have relevant teaching. You can't have a 13-year-old with a 2-year-old, just doesn't work. And so we're looking at creating the little shoots room where they're discovering who they are. They're finding out the real wonderful Bible stories. They're discovering God. They're having fun. They're being kept safe. And it's a beautiful area where moms and dads feel safe to leave their kids. So that's something that I'm dreaming of and that we're busy working through. And then the vines, the older kids, as they start bearing fruit for the Lord, as they start discovering really who they are, to step out and have a wonderful place where they want to be that's also safe. Very, very important for us, for our kids to feel safe, to feel at home, and feel like this is their area. This is their turf. This is where I belong. I want to go to kids' church, and I'm going to invite a friend. So that's really what we're looking at. I hope it makes you excited. I get excited. I have lots of things that I'd love to do, but we need a young couple to spearhead this. I'd love to work alongside somebody that I can resource and get them the things they need, but really Kids Church needs somebody to take it further. And so I'm quite excited about praying for that. Please pray with me as we pray. And then the teens, really exciting things. We want them to find a place where they belong as well. Their tribe, their people that they can relate to, they can talk about God, and discover and about, you know, talk about topics that are relevant to them. Also to have a space that they can sit and chill and just open up a Bible and share and get prayed for. So we are looking at that. The teens already have an amazing group that are being put together, and the young adults was launched last week as well. Really incredible, solid young people. Very exciting times for them. And we want to get behind them and see what God has for them, as well as to see them extend and reach out to others. So really exciting area. Pray for us and get involved. Thank you.
All right, so we had Thomas Volker came to me and said he would love to volunteer for a year to help get the Connect groups going. So I'm asking Thomas to come up. Thomas, where are you? There you are. Camouflage in our natural setting here. Yeah, there you go. Thanks,
Thank you, Andrew. Monica and I have been tasked to oversee the what used to be life groups. We've rebaptized it as our church has got a new name with Upper Highway Vineyard. The groups are now called Connect Groups. And Monica and I would like to support where we can. So just to get going, I would like to introduce the leaders of the different groups that are already existing. Let's start with Dieter and Eva. May I ask you just to stand up so that everyone knows who leaders are of the different groups. Okay. Yeah. And the group that Monica and I had have joined Dieter and Eva, which is great. Next one I've got on my list is David and Janet. David there at the back, and Janet. They've been leading a group for a long time. Then Eddie and Daphne. Daphne's here to represent them both. Thank you. Amanda. Amanda's got a group going for a long time. Then Tim and Jade. I don't know where they are. They are upstairs. Yeah, and then we also have a men's group that has been going for some time under leadership of Dieter, which is really great. And there's still space for more to join if anyone feels to do that on a Thursday morning. Then we have a mentoring group for young men, which is under leadership of Andrew. It's also been going. Anyone that wants to join there. And then it's quite exciting to announce that Ken and Yvonne, may I ask you to stand up? They'll be heading a day group, a day connect group. Thank you. So we know there's a need in our church to have a group during the day, not at night. So Ken and Yvonne have been asked to run that and do that during the day. They will send announcement when the first meeting will be, what day of the week, and what time it will be here at this premise. And you'll hear that through the normal WhatsApp channels. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Leslie. Yeah, she's got the prayer group also, and a Bible, yeah, Connect group. Yeah. Thank you, Leslie. Yeah. Yeah, so we're getting it together. Then obviously the vision for the Connect groups is that we keep on growing and planting new ones. So if there are any people or couples that would love to start a new group, you're welcome to speak to Monica or myself. There will be training done on that, so you don't necessarily need lots of experience, etc. But it would be nice to have more groups. The group leaders will meet from time to time. We planned initially 8 times a year, might be a bit less, but I think it's good just as leaders to come and share with each other how things are going and to cross-pollinate. And then our heart is really to ask every member of this church who is not already part of a Connect group to become a member of a group. And there are many advantages and experiences that you will go through once you belong. And I think the first one is really that a Connect group becomes like your local family. There's just a closeness, a sharing life, sharing joy, sharing hardships, being there for one another. And that is something very special about the Connect groups that we want to share with everyone. Obviously, the groups also engage in scripture. We share life experiences, teachings take place, etc. And there are different flavors to the same theme in the different groups. And I think the big thing is that we learn what it really means to receive God's love into our hearts, that He transforms us to become that love to each other in the group, but also to reach out into the community so that they know who our God really is, a God filled of unconditional love, being there to uplift others. So just in closing, I would really like to encourage anyone that is not yet part of a group and would love to become part of it to come and speak to Monica and myself, and we'll see which group best suits you. And then also what is new is that we've decided that all groups will come together once per term at the end of the term just to celebrate life together. So in other words, all the members, the leaders of all our groups to come and share, and we'll announce that date timelessly so that everyone can do that. And I think that'll really be awesome to bring us all together. Thank you.
The key here is if you're not in a Connect group, it's hard to take care of you. But there are also a few other groups. There's one undercover group that is a very closed group, and it involves food, and it's Andrew Carr. It's a very select group. There's only a certain number of chairs at the table. So it's how long has that group been going for, Andrew? Before COVID, that recent. Okay, not before. Okay, great. And also we have some other groups that meet. Some of the highly intentional. So Anne heads up a prayer group on a Tuesday morning from 10 to 11. We've mentioned the men's group. There's also a ladies' group. Sharon, where are you? Don't you want to stand? Sharon heads up an intercession group that comes here on Saturday mornings to pray. And we're also going to be believing for a discipleship mentoring group. Anyone here want to be equipped on how to disciple an individual? Where do you start? If you've suddenly got a friend in work, where do you start? They've suddenly shown interest. How do I start a process? So David Broderick's going to be helping us on that. So we understand that there's many Connect groups. It's when we connect in the group, that's where we get cared for. Now I want to ask you for the Mfundisas of Mfundisas, Zalani, just to come share on outreach. And I just want to say, if you've never been with Zalani in the community, it'll be an eye-opener in what he's involved in and the impact that he has and the many people. When you walk with him, it's just, hello Zalani, from all over, just the impact. So Zalani, going to come share on outreach. Sure. Thank you.
Morning, Chad. The first thing that I want us to do is actually to say Sawubona to someone next to you. I said that the instruction is to say Sawubona. That means I see you. And then the answer from the other one saying Ngiyaphila, that means you're okay. Ngiyaphila, say Ngiyaphila. Ngiyaphila. Thank you, Carl. I appreciate that. I did not ask an opportunity for people to share, but this is one thing that the scripture that really touched me. Come on, Andrew, I'm not famous. I'm just a fat man waiting to go to heaven. And Isaiah 61 is actually, that really inspired me into this vision. I think everybody knows about Isaiah 51. 61. And if you don't know that scripture, come to me. I'll share. The reason I do this is because of this scripture. And it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me and anointed you to bring what? Good news. To the what? To the poor. And we're all poor in other levels. And he has sent me to comfort the broken-hearted one and to proclaim at the captive ones that will be released in prison and will be set free. The reason we do that is to set people free. And I like the outreach through to the scripture. And then there's the words that really touch me when I'm walking into the community. It's not just going out in the community of Stockville, which is informal settlement. It's actually Gillett area. For the situation is just that those people, they don't have water, they don't have electricity, they don't have a place where we have a place where we go to sleep. It's very comfortable. But how are we going to change those people? By proclaiming what? The good news. The product and the things, we can give it to them. Yes, that is a very good idea. But for the one best thing to do, it's not just in the community, even right here at the church, we can change the situation by proclaiming the good news. And there are a few words that touch me about the outreach. We are looking for the people that are helplessness, people who are troubled, people who are grieving, who people found themselves as the victim. And the statistics that found that there's a lot of people who are the fatherless, who do not have fathers. You walk around in a community, you ask people, who's your father? They don't know their father. They're oppressed with some sort of things. And this is what that I wrote down. If you want to see God's kingdom coming to the society, being transformed, these are the people we must be engaged to. We must be engaged to these people who have fatherless, who are troubled, and it's not outside, but it's the people that is inside as well. How are we going to do that? It's called DMM, Disciple Making Movement. We're going to go to those people and disciple them to walk with the Lord. We do not have gold and silver, but we have Jesus. That's what we can offer from in this church and then out there. And this is what I'm passionate about. And then if I said to you at the first time, Sawubona, that means I recognized you. What I can help you with is to reach to the people who are broken, who need help. And the ministry begins right here at the church as well. I think we can do the outreach against each other where we needed to take care for one another and proclaim the good news. We don't need the government, but we need Jesus to transform this whole world. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Lonnie.
Thanks, Lonnie. So how we can support outreach by going ourselves, praying for them, even supporting the people going out there, making sure they're fully encouraged. All right, one thing the Lord showed me many years ago is that the Word of God is a double-edged sword. And so that you have two edges. So, for example, you can't have love without truth. And the same way we're looking at you can't have generosity without stewardship. And so I'm asking David Hotchkiss to come up just to share around our finances, just to give you a picture of where we are currently as a church. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah. Thanks, Mike Murray, for the big pot, small pot illustration. Those of us from Sarepta are familiar with this, and we are continuing because it really illustrates things well. The big pot here is where all the tithes, unspecified gifts, and other income goes in. So, and I'm going on the next slide, which we'll get to just now, I'm going to go through exactly how the big pot is used. Then there are two smaller pots. One is for the underprivileged fund. This is charitable giving, and it is spent on things like building homes for people whose homes have been washed away, food drive, bringing food into the community. So that is called the underprivileged fund, which is for money for charitable use. And then the second smaller pot is a new one, and that's called the building fund. So money that goes into that is used for improvements to this facility. At the moment, that building fund is pretty near the bottom. We received 100,000 gift, as you know, from City Hill for the improvements that we've made here so far. We've spent most of it, and to proceed, we'll need to top it up again. So that is how the income is distributed and used. Can we go on to the next picture? Right. So how are the tithes and offerings used? And this is a well-known pie chart. And of course, there are a few 10% here. The tithe is 10%, obviously. And the tithe at the moment is shared between Vineyard, that's 60% of that 10%, and 248, which is Dave Broderick's ministry, which is 40% of the 10%. Then the administration is another 10%, and that covers Bianca's salary, it covers the costs of accounting, the office, printing, telephones, internet, and so on. So 10% goes on admin. The third 10% is running the building. Now, this isn't developing the building, this is running the building. So this is the electricity, the water, repairs, it covers Mkholisi's salary, it covers Bushle's salary, and so these are the costs of, and it covers insurance of running this building. And then the next bigger one there, outreach, 27%. This includes our support of Briscoe's, for example, Skumba's. Leonard Skumba has a ministry in Zimbabwe and throughout Africa. Trevor Wood has a local ministry here. And Eric Shezi, his ministry in Shangweni Dam. It also covers Zolani's salary. So that is all in that 27% outreach. And then the biggest slice there, which is 44%, includes, it's for ministry. It includes Andrew and Veronica's salaries, costs of meetings, ministries, worship, kids zone, and you know, all of the ministry items. So that is how your tithes and offerings are used. The big pot is never used for charity or building improvements because it's for church. And if you want to give to charity, you put your money in the one smaller one, you just say underprivileged or food parcels or whatever you like. And then if you want to give something towards the development of the building, you can put bigger TVs, we're going lights on the outside. So there's all sorts of things that we'll be made aware of that are going to cost more money. Yeah, I think that's all. If you've got any detailed questions, please ask me. You know, we keep tabs of everything for good stewardship in this church. Thank you. Thanks, Andrew.
What excites me about this pie chart is the effectively 37% of our income is going out of away from us. So David Pedersen is currently in America on a international missions trip as part of Vineyard, so we are giving towards that. When Zolani's out and about, we're giving towards that. And David Broderick is involved in a ministry that affects about 51 cities around the world, discipleship, making movement. So we're giving towards that. So we want to see that amount grow to over 50%. So that money is going more out than coming in. Just saying that, we have spent every cent almost of the money came in from the generous gift from City Hill. I sent them a video showing what's happening here, and I sent it to their eldership just to show them. But we are needing a few more items, so I'd like to list them to you of things that we're needing just to finish off. So we're looking at two screens on these two walls here. We've gone for the most functional. We've gone for the one that's the right size. We cut out cardboard, put up against the wall, tried different sizes. So we're looking at two TVs that come to 50,000 Rand. The reason why we're choosing televisions is that they last for 10 years. They don't fade. They don't diminish. And they're a lot sharper and clearer, so you need smaller screens. We have lights in the foyer and veranda we'd like to tie in, as Corneille was sharing, which comes to 15,000 Rand. And then the outside lights, 5,000 rands. We want to carpet the stage and also put some carpet on that sound desk, and that comes to approximately 10. And then lastly, we want to upgrade some decor, which is 5,000 rand. So if you feel led by God to sow into any of those areas, as David mentioned, we're not taking money out of the tithes and offerings because that's for ministry only. We're doing a special drive for that. And then lastly, the and beyond. It doesn't end there. We're dreaming for so much more. We're dreaming this will become a equipping center where ministry people that, for example, Zelani goes down and recognizes a leadership gift on people in the communities that he goes, which, by the way, is not only Stockville, that they can come back here for a ministry, a school of training. I'm also believing that we'll have an entrepreneur ministry school here where people with entrepreneurial gift who are out there doing it are being skilled by people here. There's such an entrepreneurial heart within this church. We also see that we'll have a footprint beyond outer West Durban. We also want to see that new communities of faith will develop. They'll become part of us, an extension of us. And we'll see churches being planted. And we have faith to see that happen. So I want to encourage you to join in with us. And if you have any questions or anything, we don't want to have questions now, but if you have any questions, please come see any one of us. On the leadership side, as we mentioned last Sunday, David and Janet Hotchkiss, Dieter and Eva Redinger, and myself and Veronica make up what's called the governmental elders. Zelani and myself make up the pastoral elders with our wives, but we are wanting to grow that team, that will grow our eldership to cover more people. So in this course of this year, we'll be inviting new people onto leadership. And we'll also be encouraging, really want to equip Connect Group leaders, how to multiply your group. I've seen groups that have been the same group for 15 years. We need to see people raised up and being empowered to go. And that will be all part of the training. So that kind of, in essence, makes the and beyond. I'd like to close in prayer, and then I'd like to invite you to join us as we have communion together. And what I'd like to ask if we can we have one cup per couple? Let's take a cup, let's take the bread, and let's sit down, and let's have communion together as one family. So, Father, thank you for your word that says that the vision needs to be written down. It must be plain. That a herald can run with it, that we can run with it, Lord. That your vision comes at an appointed time and shows of what the future can look like. And Father, I'm asking again for courage and boldness for us to run. To run this race that we can too can say, if the Lord had to tell me what he's going to do, I would not have believed it. Because it's beyond all I can ask or imagine. And so we just pray, Lord, as we commit this to you, Lord, we just thank you for your anointing, your purposes. But I'm asking that every single person here, including myself, Father, will not operate out of obligation, but out of a zeal and a passion that you placed within us. I'm asking, Lord, that you'd fan into flame the very gifts that you place with deep within every one of us. And we call out those things that you placed within every one of us, Lord. I thank you, Father, this destiny, calling, and purpose that you placed in us, that some need to discover still, that in this season we'll see the outworking of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So please can I ask you to come up as maybe one of the couple come up. If you're here on your own, grab your own cup and let's have communion together.